Good morning, everybody. If you could find your way to your seats, things are a little bit different this morning. I hate saying that. Please find your way to your seats. I'm not some teacher. But anyway, things are a little bit different this morning. If you've been on Facebook or maybe just talked to friends, a lot of people are sick. A whole lot. I was not immune to that. Several weeks ago, I had COVID. And it went after my throat and my ears. And they're still not completely recovered. I'm not contagious or anything like that. Like, I feel pretty much okay, but I have no voice. And I can hear myself in my left ear, which is driving me crazy. Feels like I'm in a pool. So I knew I was scheduled for worship, and I had to think about what I was going to do. And I decided that we're just going to change things up today. It's okay to change things every once in a while. This is not going to be the norm, but it's New Year's Eve. New Year's Day is tomorrow. We start a whole new year. And a lot of people talk about resolutions and that kind of thing. And I thought it would be a good time for us to kind of focus on prayer, which we don't necessarily always do. So instead of singing today, we're going to divide up into groups, and we're going to pray about some things. And they can be things in your own life, or they can be things outside of your life. can we have that slide up of Acts? If you're not familiar with this, you don't have to use it. It's just if you're very unsure of how you might want to pray. This is just one way that you can kind of guide yourself through prayer. Can we go to the next slide? So ACTS stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. So you start with praising the Lord for who he is and his attributes. Then you can work to confession and talk about, you know, places where maybe you've fallen short, where you've just felt like you haven't measured up. He already knows, so that's okay. Then you can thank him for what he's done in your life and what he's going to do, or the lives of others. And then supplication, and that's where you make your requests known to God. And, you know, I've been, none of what I'm going to say is of my own. Like, I stand on the shoulders of others, so this is all derivative. I didn't come up with any of this on my own, but I heard prayer being described as, it's not coming to God with your wants, like, oh, please give me this. God is not some cosmic Santa Claus. That's ridiculous. Put it out of your mind. But prayer is more aligning of our wills to his, and one of the tools that he uses to do that. So if you are walking with Christ, and if your heart is with him, and you're seeking the kingdom of God, then you will naturally want the things that he wants. And he says he'll grant us the desires of our heart. So a couple of things that I thought of that we can all kind of pray about if you're not comfortable sharing something in your own life. The situation in Israel, that's a big one. The upcoming elections and the results of those elections, whatever they might be. The unborn. The sick, of which there are many right now. My father-in-law is in the hospital with the flu right now. We have a friend who just gave birth to a premature baby at, I'm probably going to get it wrong, but 26 weeks. She also has illness and pneumonia right now. The baby's okay, you know, in the NICU. But while she was in the hospital, she picked something up. So that's fun. and I'm sure you know of other people that are sick right now. I've heard plenty of stories, even from Nate, because I said, I'm really sick. And he said, yeah, there's people in my family that are sick too. Again, how our church is going to respond to this coming year, what we're going to do, following the Lord's lead and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable to that. And then just in general, following God's lead, having your heart be soft enough and your heart be open enough to hear him when he's saying, hey, go over here. And then asking him to prepare us to do that. Let's see. I think what we'll do is Rebecca forward, you guys can be one group. And then from Bob forward. But before you get to Becky, you guys are another group back there. And then you guys in that corner, you can be your own group there. I'll start us, And we're going to have like a bit of time to do this, so don't feel like you have to rush. You don't have to pray if you don't want to, but try to give everybody a chance to pray, okay? We're going to do this for about 10 minutes, okay? So I'll get us started, and when 10 minutes is up, I'll just come back up, and we'll close, and then Nate will come up and start the sermon, okay? Father, I just ask that you would be present with us in this time, that we would feel your presence. Obviously, you're already here, but that you would lead our hearts and our minds in what we should pray for, and that you would make our hearts soft to your leading, Lord, and that we would be able to hear what it is you want from us, not just today, but in the coming year. I pray that you would give us discernment and wisdom. And I just pray that those who are timid, Lord, would not be timid and that they would feel comfortable to pray. And I pray that those who always pray would know when to do that and when to give space. I know I struggle with that, Lord. You know I do too. So, Father, just lead us in this time and in the new year. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys can break off and talk amongst yourselves and begin praying. Concerns, with our anxieties, Lord, and lay them on you. And Father, I pray that as we lift these concerns and thanks to you, that you'd be pleased with them. Father, we pray for Rick today as he brings the message, that you would speak through him. And we pray for our church body, Lord, for spiritual health and physical health. And we just pray that you would use our little church in big ways like you have and help us to always seek your face through everything we're doing, Lord, whether it's at church or in our own lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're joining us online, this is a little bit different. I understand that. Hopefully you were able to pray at home. But welcome to Cornerstone, everybody. It's great to have you here today. I'm glad to be here today, even though I'm not 100%. But yeah, it's good to be here, and it's good to be able to meet together. If you haven't already gone downstairs, kids, if you're third grade or under, you can go downstairs to Children's Church. There's a program for you. And Rick, come on up.
One very common thing that many people have done, but some people might not have. How many of you have never flown in an airplane? Everybody's flown in an airplane. Okay, well, that's good, because I'm kind of starting there with your flight plan for 2024. Tomorrow starts a new day, a new year. And you can see that I've got here the instrument panel for a small plane, much like my father used to fly. And the interesting thing is that life in general is like flying cross country. You need to know where you are. You need to know where you're going in order to get there. You need to plan to get there safely. And in aircraft, some of you, how many of you ever flown in a small plane, like less than 10 passenger? Okay. That's what this is. My dad owned a 5-passenger plane for many years and then a 6-passenger plane. But there's some rules about flying an airplane. And there's rules about planning. There's two kinds of plans. There's VFR and IFR. VFR is like what you see here, where you can look out and you can see the ground below. You can see roads and barns and things like that. And that's how they fly visual flight rules, VFR. You follow the road, maybe see a barn over there. Okay, I know that's on the map right here, because your map or chart for flying has those big things on it so that you can find it. So that's VFR. We flow like that a lot of times. But sometimes clouds come in. I remember one time we were flying VFR, and the clouds were coming in, so my dad flew up above them and figured, well, this is only going to be for a little while, and so we'll fly up above them, and then it'll break out. It didn't break out. And we're flying and flying and don't see any holes. And then we finally see this hole in the clouds up there. And so he goes for that. But of course, we're flying faster than you can get through that little hole. And so we ended up in the clouds not being able to see. When we came out of the clouds, this little thing right here wasn't showing anything because we were no longer flying like this. We were flying like this. And the ground was spinning in front of us. And fortunately, my dad had had a little bit of training in aerodynamics, and he knew how to pull out of a spinning dive. And so he pulled out and didn't hit the ground and went straight back to the airport. No further, you know. But these instruments help you. This one tells you where the wings are. If you're in the clouds, it tells you whether you're tilting. And let's see, this one over here tells you how fast you're going up and down. This is a mechanical compass, but then you've also got the regular compass up here to tell you which direction you're going. And so you've got all these instruments, and if you know how to use them, they will help you even in the clouds to know what you're doing. But the most important instrument there is this one over here. That not only tells you where you're going, but it also communicates with the towers along the way so that they can tell you, there's a plane out there, watch out for him. Okay, and so that's very important if you're flying IFR, which is instrument flight rules. You give them your plan, and that way, although you might know your speed and your direction and your location, knowing what those other planes are doing is vital. And so if you don't follow the instructions that the radio gives you, you could end up in big trouble. You could end up flying into a mountain or maybe even another plane, like this one right here. Here's somebody getting ready to take off, but somebody else is landing on the same runway. And you notice the timestamps are just seconds apart. Here he's almost hitting the ground, but this guy's still not off the ground. This guy finally hits the ground, and just as he's taking off, but somebody wasn't listening. Because on these big airports, like they name them by what direction you're flying, and so like they'll say, take off on runway 25R. That's heading 25 degrees off of north on the right-hand runway. And if you happen to go on the left-hand runway, there might be somebody else coming in, like in this case. I'd imagine one of those guys was on the wrong runway because they wouldn't tell them both to go that way. So it's very important to listen to the instructions when you're flying IFR especially, because these guys might not have seen each other until they broke out of the clouds. Well, do you know where you're going? And do you know how to get there? In this next year, do you have a plan? That's what we want to look at today. And a few years ago, Pastor Nate encouraged us to do just that, to look through the scriptures and find out what are God's commands for his church? What does God want us to be doing? And we boiled that down. Everybody that was willing to read through the whole New Testament, or at least the epistles, wrote down all the commands, and then we categorized them, and we came up with basically three statements of God's commands, and then we boiled those down even further to one vision statement. And so we have this vision statement. Does anybody know what our vision statement is? If you look at the cover of your bulletin, you may just find it there. It's there every week. What's that?
Bringing people to Jesus and fully following him.
Exactly. Leading people to Jesus and fully following him together. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. We need to bring other people to Jesus, but we also need to teach them to follow him as we follow him, and we all do it together. So that is God's purpose for us. That's your mission in Kutztown. is to bring people to Jesus and then fully follow him together. And in order to fully follow him, we need to know him. We need to know his word. And so we then came up with three main commands that God has given us. That's God's IFR, his plan, his map for us. And so is your goal in 2024 to fully follow him as you lead people to Jesus? Or is your goal diet, exercise, get that promotion, whatever it might be? Those are some nice goals, and they're okay, but we need to have a central goal of fully following Christ. And so if that is God's goal for us, how are we going to accomplish it? We came up with IFR. Does anybody know what the IFR for Cornerstone Community Church is? What's the I?
Immerse.
Immerse. And the F?
Fuse.
And then?
Radiate.
Radiate. Very good. That's also on your bulletin. For those of you who didn't know that, on the back of your bulletin, you've got immerse, fuse, and radiate, and what those mean. That's the plan. Okay, we've got the goal, we've got the direction God wants us to go. He's given us his map. And then, how are we going to accomplish it? By immersing, fusing, and radiating. You may have seen this graphic before, but you notice, first of all, immersing, we are immersing yourself in practical Bible teaching, both publicly and privately. Then we're fusing with other believers and pursuing the application of truth, and then radiating God's love by serving others and sharing your story with them. That's the way we can do that. Those are the cornerstones, the points on the map that we can follow. And so, first of all, we want to talk about immersion. How are you doing at immersing yourself in God's Word? Not just coming to church on Sunday, but through the week. Are you getting together with others in Bible study? Are you going to home groups? Are you studying at home? In 2 Timothy 2:15, I like it in the King James especially, but it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The idea of immersing yourself in God's word so that you can rightly divide the word of truth, so you understand it and know him enough to tell others. That's God's map, okay? We know where we're supposed to be. We know where we're at. How are we going to get there? Studying God's word together and privately. And so that's a key to getting to God's plan for us. And then, after we've immersed ourselves in God's word, or as we're immersing ourselves, because that's a continual process, then we want to fuse with one another, with believers, and pursuing the application of truth. Notice it's not just getting together for bowling or a game night or something, although those are good and then that's helpful. We need to do those things, but also to fuse with one another as far as building one another up. And in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, we see the day approaching. Things are happening that just point to the fact that Jesus could be coming very soon. And so how are we doing at considering one another and spurring one toward love and good works? That's the reason for fusing or fellowshipping together, is to point each other to the power of God, to not only study the truth, but talk about how can we do this? What are we doing? And maybe even encouraging one another. You know, as we pray for one another, we can mention some things that maybe we're working on, and we can encourage one another. Because you know what? God has given us a flame in our hearts, but it needs to be magnified with the fellowship of others. If you don't get close to one another, then you're going to be kind of like this fire. You notice you've got a bunch of logs there, and you've got a great big bright flame. What happens if you take each of those logs and put them in a different section of the field, and it's just one log by itself? Does it keep burning brightly? Nope, it goes out. If it's just one log, it doesn't have the encouragement of the others, and the heat dissipates, and it stops burning eventually. And so we need that fusion, that fellowship with one another to keep the flame going. That helps us to immerse in God's Word, getting that fuel from God, and then as we fuse together, we burn more brightly, and people can see God's love and feel the warmth of God's love coming through us. And so that's how we can share God's love more effectively. And so if we're immersing in God's Word, getting to know Him better, and if we're fusing together, encouraging one another, then we will start to radiate as that fire was doing, just radiating because it's natural. God's love will come out as we serve one another and serve others and share your story as God gives you opportunity. Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." That's a command of God. But you know what? If we're immersing and we're fusing with one another, it's going to come naturally because we're going to have that warmth of God's love exuding from us, and people are going to see it. And they're going to want to know, how do you do that? How do you get close to God like that? How do you see Him at work in your life? And the whole idea is that we need to teach others how to trust God, and we show that by showing them how God loves us and loves them too. God paid for our sins through Jesus on the cross of Calvary so that we can have a relationship with Him, because we don't deserve it. You know, if you think about it, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 tells us that. And so we don't deserve to have that fellowship with God that He has promised to give us, but He paid the price to give it for us. And so we want to tell others about how God loves them, how He paid for their sins. He wants to be involved in their lives to guide us and provide and empower us to follow Him. If we're immersing and fusing, then others will feel that warmth. But is there a way we can be more effective and maybe even more intentional about that radiating? How can we be more intentional and actually work toward allowing God to use us more effectively? Because it's really going to be God that does it. I can't radiate God. He radiates Him. He's in me, and I can let Him flow through me. But I'm not going to do it. You know, I can't change you or anybody else, but God can. So I need to open myself up to Him. So what are we going to do? How can we make ourselves more available to the Lord? In John 16, He reminds us. He says, "Unless I go away," this is Jesus talking, "unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send Him to you. When He comes, He will prove the world to be in wrong about sin, about righteousness and judgment, about sin because people do not believe in Me, righteousness because I'm going to My Father, and where you go, and where you cannot see Me any longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world stands condemned." This is reminding us God's Holy Spirit is the one that convicts people of their sin and of His righteousness and the judgment that's coming. We can tell them about it, but God's Holy Spirit's going to have to move them. And so whenever we're trying to radiate, we need to remember, stay close to God and let Him radiate through us and pray that God is going to use us. So God has given us a system. How can we more effectively and intentionally let God use us to radiate God's love? Live a life that's characterized by pi squared. How many of you know what pi squared is? Okay, it's not pi r squared. That's the area of a circle. But pi squared is talking about P-I-I. Two I's because they multiply each other. But what's the first P?
Prayer.
Okay, we need to be praying. And so that means you have these little cards. We've given them out many times. That you're supposed to put like four or five names of people that you can pray for and reach out to. Your pi squared list. Now, my big problem is I like to pray for lots of people. I've got probably about 150 people on my prayer list that I pray for every day because I have time. I'm retired, and I can just go through that for an hour and pray for all of you. You're all on my list. Every one of you gets prayed for every day, okay? But I need to focus. I can't invest in all of you or there won't be any left of me, you know? And so we've got to get it down to a few that we're going to really focus on. And so we need to pick four, maybe five people that we're really going to pray for every day and make sure that they're people that don't understand about God's love and salvation. Then start praying for them regularly, daily. Pray that God will win them and that he'll use you in the process. And so as you're praying, God is going to start giving you opportunities. And so the next one is invest. Okay, those four or five people, you're going to invest yourself in them. You're going to work to build friendships, work to win an audience. Okay, you can't just walk up to somebody on the street and expect them to believe everything you say. They don't know you. I had somebody just this morning that wants to buy something that we have on the internet. And he said, okay, I'll give you half of what you want and I'll pay it to you online. I say, hey, I don't know this guy. I don't trust him. And so I said, you come and buy it in cash and then we'll have a deal, you know. And so I don't know him. We have to build a relationship if we're going to have any trust. And so we're going to look for ways that we can invest in those four people that we're praying for. Okay, we're asking God to open up opportunities for conversation. But you know what? Some of what you can do as you're investing in them is look for opportunities to reveal yourself. Expose yourself to them. Expose your weaknesses. Expose your trials, the struggles, and how God is helping you with that. That's what's really going to win them when they see you're as human as I am, but God is helping you. How do I get that? And I love to hear that question. I wish I had a God like that that could help me. You know, I had one guy that once called him a manager. He said, I wish I had a manager like that. I said, you could. He said, hey, you're right. And that day he trusted Christ as a Savior because he saw God had been leading me and he was ready to lead him too. Name is Guido. He lives in Austria. You could pray for Guido if you'd like. I don't know where he is right now. I haven't talked to him or visited with him in a long time, but I left him with some good Christians who are following up with him. Okay? We have opportunities to reveal ourselves, our struggles and our blessings, our answers to prayer. When God answers prayer, tell people about it. Get excited and give him all the glory. And then as you're sharing with these four or five people, and you share what God has done for you and how he's answered your prayer, you could say, you know what? I could pray for you. Matter of fact, I am praying for you. Anything is special you want me to pray for? And maybe they'll have some things that they want to open up to you about. And you can start praying for them. And then you can ask them how things are going. So we're praying for them. Then we're investing in a relationship where we can actually share what's going on, which gives us then the opportunity to invite. And invite is a broad spectrum, okay? You can invite someone to come over to your house for a snack or to maybe go play tennis or something like that. That's an invitation. That's getting closer to them. You can invite them to trust Christ as your Savior. That's the goal. But in between, there's all kinds of spectrum that you can do in inviting. You can invite them to your home for a game or for a meal. Maybe invite them to home group and get to know other Christians. Maybe a Christian concert. Oftentimes there's different concerts that you can invite people to where they'll hear the gospel there and you can talk about it on the way home. Maybe eventually you might invite them to study the Bible with you, just one-on-one, or invite them to a church service like this where they can hear more about God's word and his love and his forgiveness. So we pray and we invest and then we start inviting each time, getting a little bit closer to where they would come to where they would want to trust Christ as their Savior when they realize they need Jesus in their life. And I hope all of you have memorized John 3:16. If you haven't, be sure you do that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's the key, and you can quote that to them. That is the gospel. They can receive him if you just give them that verse. And then encourage them to grow together with you. We've got to remember it's God's Holy Spirit that is accomplishing this. He's the one that is going to bring them to himself. He's the one that's going to convict them. So we're praying, we're investing, we're inviting, but as we pray, we're praying because we really care about their future, their eternal future. We're investing because you honestly want to be a friend to them, not just to get some brownie points, not just to make God happy with you, but you're praying for them and you're investing in them because you're interested in them as a human being. You care about them. You're inviting them as God opens opportunities to point them closer to Jesus and his love. And then you can explain what God has done for you in your life and what he wants to do for them. And Philippians 3:10 kind of puts it in perspective of where are we going and how are we going to get there? How do we put all this together? Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That kind of puts it all together, doesn't it? That God wants to help us to know him. You can't introduce somebody to somebody you don't know. And so we need to know Christ by immersing, by fusing, and even as we radiate, God demonstrates himself to us. So we want to know Jesus personally. We want to know his power, the resurrection power of Christ. That's how God leads and guides us. It's real. He's working in you. He's working in me. Let people know what he's doing. As he answers prayer, tell them about it, especially those few, but anybody you have opportunity to. Tell them what God is doing in your life. Now, this one right here, fellowship and the sharing of his sufferings. How many really want to suffer like Jesus did? That's a tough one. But you know what? If you think about it, if we don't suffer, we're not going to demonstrate his power. Our suffering demonstrates how God gets us through those difficulties. You know, when Phyllis and I were in that collision and totaled our car a couple of weeks ago, that hurt. We're still kind of suffering from that a little bit. But that gave so many opportunities to talk about how God, first of all, just protected us through all that. We were able to walk away even though our car was destroyed. And also that God is providing. The insurance paid enough that we could get a new car. And so God is providing and answering prayer along the way. So that suffering was an opportunity for God to demonstrate himself in my life. And your suffering is an opportunity for him to demonstrate in your life. So we need to turn those sufferings over to Jesus and trust him to get us through. And as he does, praise him for it. Let people know, he got me through this. He'll get you through yours. And you know, you have no people maybe that are suffering with cancer or respiratory disease or financial problems. Maybe they've been laid off or whatever it might be. They're suffering. You know people that are suffering, and you can share with them, God has gotten me through those things. He can do that for you if you'll trust him. As we experience his comfort and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, we're fellowshipping with him. He's helping us through. Then we can show them what Jesus is like. We become like Jesus. Even as he died for us, he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. We can sacrifice for others. We can give ourselves to those that we're praying for, that we're investing in and inviting to come to Jesus. Those opportunities of suffering show what God has done in our lives. And that makes us to become more like Jesus. That way your friend can get a taste of the love of Christ as it comes through you. Then a little bit later in that same chapter, in verse 13 and 14, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." First of all, he says, I don't consider myself to have arrived, okay? I'm not perfect yet. We need to recognize that. I remember when I was a manager at McDonald's, and people were not always doing everything they were supposed to be doing. Sometimes they were goofing off when they were supposed to be working. And every so often, I got upset as the manager. And I had to then go and apologize. You know what? I flew off the handle. I shouldn't have done that. They said, oh, you're the manager. No, I was wrong. I need to confess that to you. I need to ask your forgiveness. I yelled at you. You were just doing what you normally do. And yeah, you needed to improve, but I didn't need to get all upset about it. And so we can admit our faults, even to those people that we're working with, those people that we're visiting with, that we're getting to know. Let them know, I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. God has forgiven me. I hope you will too when I mess up in your situation. But then he says, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead. Now, we want to remember the blessings that God has given and thank him for those, but we want to be careful that we don't think about all the wonderful things we've done for God and get all complacent and proud. Look what I did last year. Oh, was I ever great, you know? No, we want to keep moving forward. Don't get focusing on the pride of our past accomplishments, because that points to me. If I get proud about what I've done, it's not pointing to Jesus. It's pointing at me. So forget that stuff and aim forward. But there's something else we need to forget, and that's the shame of our past sins. Sometimes, oh, God could never use me. I've done so much wrong. I'm so sinful. How could God ever use me? Well, that's a temptation, even in my life, that sometimes I wonder, God, how can you use me? My thoughts just go all over the place sometimes. Lord, I need your strength. I need your forgiveness and your cleansing. And so we want to forget the shame of the past and move forward. We're forgiven for that. Jesus paid the price. We can move forward and press toward the goal of Jesus in this new year. God has given us a brand new year starting tomorrow. If he doesn't come before then, he might blow the trumpet tonight before midnight and we'll be with him. And that'd be fantastic. But if not, we've got another year to serve him. How are we going to do it? Are you going to follow his map? Or have you got your own map that you're trying to work on? You know, when I was flying with my dad and we were flying by the seat of his pants, so to speak, we got into that cloud. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't even feel that we weren't on the level anymore until we finally broke out of the clouds and there's the ground spinning in front of us. And we did, whoa! We were following our own map instead of the instructions from the tower. We don't want to follow our own map in life. We want to follow his. He is the tower. He knows what's all around. He's got the radar that can see all the dangers that are lurking in your future, and he can guide you through and around them. God's goal is what you need to be looking for. God's goal is that you look more and more like Jesus, that we would win the prize for which God has called us in Jesus heavenward, and that we want to become like him. We want people to see him in us and be personally pointing people to Jesus. So his goal is that we look like Jesus, we know him well, and then we point people to him. Your friends need to see Jesus in you. They need to know that there's forgiveness for them because you have it. And then they need God's guidance in their lives like he's guiding you. You have what it takes. So pray. Pray for those people. Invest in them. Get to know them. Invite them to know Jesus personally as you just do life with them. Invite them to do various things in your life. You know, when Jesus called his disciples, he didn't give them the gospel the first time he met them. He said, come on with me. Just follow me and see what life is really like. And they got to see God at work in life. And they were drawn to him. He's in you. If you've trusted him as your Savior, he's in you. You can help people to walk with him as they walk with you. So invite them to do stuff with you, whatever it is, rake leaves, mow the lawn or whatever, help them. I was walking around the neighborhood this week, actually I guess it was just yesterday, and a guy was putting a roof rack on his son's car. He had just got it for Christmas, and he was kind of struggling with it. So I stopped. I didn't just walk by, say hi. I stopped, and we chatted a while, and I looked at it, and together, he mostly figured it out, but I was an encouragement at least. He said, it's nice to have a supervisor, you know, so you get it right, you know. And so he got it right. It's on there. I saw it later on that day. So we can help people to get to know Jesus better. And when they come to Christ, it's exciting to see him at work in us. So let God use you to win people to Jesus. We need to be leading people to Jesus and then fully following him together with them and with one another. Let's follow him and point people to Jesus in this coming year. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you've given us the opportunity to live for you. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a map, that you've given us direction, that you've given us your power, that you're guiding us and demonstrating yourself in our lives so that people can be drawn to you. Lord, use us in the coming year, even in the coming few days, to draw people to you. Help us to focus on a few that we can really invest in and get to know personally where they might get to know you better. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think at this time we'll turn it over to Nate for announcements. I'll give you that in case you need it.
Like we normally do, why don't we just take a minute to think about next steps, think about what you've been challenged with. On the back of your program, there's some options that you can look at, ways that you might want to step into 2024. So just take a minute right now between you and God.
Thank you.
thank you. Thank you, Dad, for bringing that to us today. And thank you, Matt, for the different focus. It's not very normal that we don't stand up and sing songs together. That's different. And like Matt said, it's not the new normal, but it's okay to do something different every once in a while. And on the next steps, it says, what else is God telling you today? As Dad was talking, he was telling me, I need to pray for you. I just want to pray over you guys as we have this prayer focus today. So if you'd just let me pray for you and pray for us as we step into the next year, I want to do that. God, I thank you for the folks who are here together today that got up on this New Year's Eve and came in. And also for those who maybe aren't well today and are with us in their bed or in their house, on their phone, wherever they are. God, thank you for those who are also part of this church family that aren't here today. God, we are stepping into a new year, which in one perspective, it's one day to the next. It's really not that different from the last day of 2023 to the first day of 2024. But for us, it's kind of a way of measuring things and a way of remembering, okay, time is passing and we're moving forward. And Lord, some of us are moving into the new year without much guidance or direction. We're just kind of stumbling along and not even sure where we're headed. Some of us are headed somewhere, but we're headed the wrong direction. It's not really exactly where you want us to be going. And others of us, maybe there's a few who are headed the right direction and just need your support and your strength to do it. So, Lord, in whatever way we're going into 2024, Lord, we invite you to be our guide, to show us what you want for us. I'm thankful for these priorities that you've shown us over the years as we've kind of condensed and just studied what do you say. And I pray that you would help us and stir us, that we would immerse ourselves in your word so we know what you say, we know what you want, that we would fuse together, that relationships with each other would be a high priority, to know one another, to love one another, and that radiate would be something that's on our mind, that we would care for those who are not part of your family, those who don't know you, those who are stumbling in darkness. Because, Lord, darkness can be heavy. And there are people who don't know where they're going. They don't know you. So, Lord, help us not to be selfish with you, but to share you. And using this pi squared tool to pray, invest, invite, to remember there's people around us. Some are in our own family and some are maybe in our neighborhood or at work. They're in various places, but you put them in our lives and they're far from you. So, God, in this 2024, this next 365 days, I don't remember if it's a leap year or not, but the 365 days that we have, God, I pray that more and more our heart will align with what Paul said in Philippians, that as I go into the next year, my number one desire over everything else will be that I may know you, that I can know your power. God, we need your power. We need your power in a lot of different ways. But God, we also need to know your suffering, because that's where we see your power. So Lord, help us not to be afraid of that, but to allow you to do that. We can't stop you anyway, but Lord, that we'd be receptive to the challenges that you have for us, some we know about, some we don't. But Lord, you know our burdens, you know our weariness, our weaknesses, our struggles, and some of those things you're going to lead us through to the other side. We're going to experience victory over this year, and we're going to praise you for that. Some of these struggles that we have, you intend for them to last the whole year. So God, give us endurance. Help us cling to you and find you faithful. God, you're a faithful God. So we look to you as we step into the next year. And I thank you that you are close. You're a good shepherd. Lord, you're a good God. And so together as a church family, from our beds and our kitchens and our phones, or from from the seats in this building here. God, together we look to you. We trust you. We love you. And we thank you that we can walk with you into whatever's coming. And Lord, I pray that each of us will grow in prayer this year, that our relationship with you will grow deeper and richer, that our trust in you will grow stronger, and that our experience with you will grow richer. God, thank you that you don't give up on us. You accept us right where we are, and you keep walking with us. So, Lord, in that, we step into 2024 with confidence and peace with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, thank you for being part of this service with us today. Home groups are going to start up in, I believe, 2 weeks. So that'll be going again soon. Hopefully you'll be part of that. I believe there are refreshments downstairs. So if you'd like to hang out a little bit longer, that's available. I'm not sure. There's three churches meeting here. I believe the middle church is about to move out. I don't know yet. I haven't heard. But I think it might be down to two churches meeting here soon in this new year. But for now, you'll hear the Glory to Glory Church rustling around upstairs as we're downstairs. But I hope you guys have a good day today. And I hope that the message and the focus today will help you as you step into 2024. So have a good day.